Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're going to get into the Word. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. I think we have that for the screens. I'm actually going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. So I think there's something in verse 5 that may be good for the youngins among us. Verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." "And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you." I'll get it right here in a second. "That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Another translation says, "All your anxiety. All your anxieties, throw them on Jesus, for he cares for you." And then if you would, let's turn over to Luke chapter 5, which I think we're probably going to spend the majority of our morning there. Luke chapter 5, this is, Michael, this is the story of Jesus calling the fishermen. They have net issues. It talks about nets being relationships, that word that Michael had for us. It tied in really well because these guys had net issues. But I want you to jump, we're going to get into the story here, but I want you to jump all the way down to verse 11. Luke chapter 5 and verse 11. We're going to go all the way down here to the end of this story. Luke 5 and 11 says, "So when they had brought their boat to land, they forsook all and followed him." I want you to highlight that, underline it, get it tattooed on your hand, something. They forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. Father, we just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to gather together with the body of Christ today. Thank you that the church is not a place, it's a people. I thank you that we are gathered here in your name, in your presence with your people. And I thank you that you do in this space what only you can do. Thank you for healing. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for hope. I thank you that you do all things well. So no matter what problem we walked in with, you are the solution. You are the answer. And this morning we say yes to you. We want to position ourselves to hear your voice, to be obedient to you, to see you in a fresh and new way. So take these moments we share and move in this place. Move among your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever walked into a room and for whatever reason completely forgot why you were there? This is not just a sign of age. I see it happen to me more times than I would like, but oftentimes it's because something eclipses my attention. Something just completely more important, more pressing, captures my attention. I completely forget. And you ever find yourself like, why did something compelled me to change rooms, to go upstairs, to go downstairs, to do something? I'm here for a purpose, and I can't remember what it is. Amen or oh me. remember the other day I was working on something outside and I needed a tool from inside. And I went inside and our daughter has a gift for making messes. And there, I walked into another mess. She has artwork all over our house, all over the walls. And we just waited for that phase to end. And we are 6 years into this journey and it hasn't ended. But I completely forgot why I was there. Something more important came up. Something more pressing, and it just completely eclipsed my attention. My intention was changed. My purpose in life changed in that moment. Right? We're about to get into a story where the disciples, their purpose and their direction and their reason for being where they were, doing what they were doing, completely changed. And my hope and my prayer this morning is that we would have that kind of encounter with Jesus. You know, when you walked in, sometimes you just walk in a room and you see your loved ones. You know, I see my wife or my kids and I'm just overcome with, like, they're so great. And I just forget about the yard work that needs to get finished up, or the project that's pending, or any, you know, whatever happened that day that was so. And Jesus is so good and so beautiful, so wonderful and so captivating that he changes why we're in the room that we're in. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So, Luke chapter 5, hope you're there, didn't go anywhere. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret? Gennesaret? Yeah, sure, that lake. The Sea of Galilee. Why they did that, I don't know, but it's not right. It's the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. He understood that he was going to use whatever tool was available. We use sound equipment to reinforce sound through microphones and speakers. This was natural amplification. So he gets out on the water and he can speak without straining to the multitude. And so he's taught them. He's done that from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking in verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. No doubt Jesus had seen the countenance of the disciples before they were the disciples, these men, these fishermen, these professional fish. This is what they did for a living. These were not novice. This is not me going out with a fishing pole trying to do something. This is how they make their living. They're familiar with this body of water. They're familiar with the process. It says, let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. He's like, listen, your background is carpentry. I am a professional fisherman. This is what I do. And we've toiled all night. We've worked, we've strained, we've struggled, we've tried everything. And caught nothing. That's a rough day. Nevertheless, he's like, you know, I'm going to humor you. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it for you. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Why was their net breaking? Well, they'd already washed and cleaned up their good fishing gear. These are professionals. They had the old, worn out, no doubt nasty, moldy net in the bottom of the boat that they just hadn't thrown away yet, and they use that. And their net begins to break. So they signaled their partners and from the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There's a few takeaways I want us to get to, and we'll finish the story here in a second, but Jesus is just looking for our yes. He's just looking for the opportunity for us to partner with him. And all Simon had in him at that moment, because of frustration, because he'd been working all night and he knew what he was doing, it was a half-hearted fine. Make the teacher happy. Doesn't know anything about fishing. He's a carpenter, for crying out loud. But I'll humor him. And Jesus takes that moment. And this was the catch of fish that they had dreamed about. This is like a famous catch of fish. This is the men out fishing today would just dream of an endeavor where they would fill their boats. This is legend. This is a once in a lifetime catch of fish. Jesus just needed the opportunity. Just looking for the yes. Just in this case, okay, Lord, fine. Jesus was unfazed by that. I just think that's beautiful. That's amazing. And their net began to break. Jesus is looking for our yes to bless what is in our hands. They've been working all night, frustrated, to put to use everything the world had to offer at that time when it came to fishing, and had nothing to show for it. And the moment they say yes to Jesus, and just put it out there, just try it. And their boats could not contain it. And verse 9 says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" And it says they forsook all. They brought their boats to land. They forsook all, and they followed him. The next takeaway I want us to recognize is that God wants. We take this passage, and when he calls the disciples from fishing, he says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And we're like, yes, Jesus is going to make me a fisher of men. Well, if you're not a fisherman, that doesn't say a whole lot to you, right? But what Jesus is saying, I'm going to take what's in your hand, I'm going to take what you know, and I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to use what's in your hand to accomplish the dream that I put in your heart. So what he's asking for you is not for you to learn how to be a professional fisherman this morning. Some of us would love it, some of us would hate it. What he's asking is, what have I placed in your hand that I can use? Because maybe you have dedicated a lot of time to figuring out how the world says you need to use what he's placed in your hand. You have gifting, you have an aptitude, you have a grace on your life, you have a calling on your life to do something. And Jesus is asking, will you trust me with what I've placed in your hand? So what is he, for some of us it's the ability to teach and to instruct. For some of us it's the ability to acquire wealth. God bless you. Teach me. Whatever he's placed in your hand, he will use it for a kingdom purpose if you will just trust him with it. Yeah, but Lord, I've been trying. No. Trust me with it. Trust me with it. And see what he'll do. I just feel impressed for some of us in the room, we've really struggled with trusting him with our finances in a way. Do you know that if you would just trust him with it? We talked about this, I think it was Wednesday night. It's unbelievable. 10% changes everything. It really does, because God says, try me in this. I want you to know the blessing of God on 90% of your income will go way farther than 100% without it. Way farther. And you've been struggling, you've been trying to figure it out, you've been toiling all night, all year, for the past 2 years of the pandemic, and I'm just trying to figure this out, and it's not working. But what if we trusted him with what we have? Instead of trying to strive through and work through and figure this all out on our own. I'm sure the people around them, the title of this morning's message is, Do You Even Care? And can you imagine the people that had just been taught watching what is happening with these professional fishermen with a catch they never dreamed of, a once in a lifetime, maybe once in a generation catch of fish. This is a huge financial breakthrough. And all we have here is that they forsook all and follow Jesus. Suddenly, it's not about the fish anymore. What was so important and so central and so consuming in their life that they would be up all night trying to get this thing no longer matters. So for you and I this morning, what is that thing that has just consumed your thoughts? And consumed your time and consumed your behavior, that you are pursuing this thing and coming up short, that you should just trust him with it. God, what do you want me to do? And there are those around you that are experts. Do you even care? Do you even care? Man, I care so much more about what he has to say because he's well able. When it comes to my finances, he said, try me, test me. If I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, you'll not have room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer, the enemy coming in to steal, to kill, and destroy. I will rebuke what's been stealing from you. I'm going to plug that hole in the bottom of your bucket so you quit losing what you've been working so hard for. We need the power of God and the grace of God on our lives. And it's not some amazing fairy dust thing. It's, will you trust him? Will you trust him with your time and your talent and your treasure? Will you trust him? Do you even care? Jesus is so captivating, so beautiful, so wonderful. They forsook all and followed him. That's a pretty radical shift. And what you and I need in our lives right now in 2022 is a pretty radical shift. I need to see the power and the grace of God on my life and my family's life, on my church. Are you with me? There are people in our church family that need to see God show up. We need to quit toiling, working, striving all night long, just trying to get something to sell. Trust me. will you use what is in your hand? Because he will. Will you trust him with what is in your hand? I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Quite honestly, I don't know exactly where we're going this morning. But he does. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds it.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We read 1 Peter where he says to cast all your care, to toss, to throw all your care on Jesus because he cares for you. To throw your anxiety on him. In verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious. So he's speaking about things we're worried about, things we're toiling over, things we're trying to get this figured out. We're trying to deal with this issue, whatever it is, relationally and financially and with our kids and with their job and whatever it is. And we're anxious and we're worried and we're concerned and we're praying for fish. And he wants to give us peace. So maybe for some of us right now in the midst of what we're dealing with, we're praying for fish. We're praying for him to get on board with our plan. And what he wants to give us is peace that surpasses all understanding. The kind of peace that moves you to do things that those around you are like, do you even care what you're doing right now? Because to the world, it looks crazy. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I want you to pay attention to that. Guard your hearts and your minds. What you feel and what you think. That's where we get in trouble. In our mind, will, and emotions, in our soul, in that control center for our lives on the inside, who you are on the inside. Where you're thinking and where you're feeling and where you're choosing. He's like, that peace is going to guard that. It's going to keep you safe. It's going to hold you when you can't hold it together yourself. You're praying for this thing, but what he's going to give you first and foremost is peace that guards you. Let's just go back a chapter here, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. And when you're there, say, I got it. It says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him. This is an intimate phrase. This is not knowledge in the terms of information. This is intimacy. That I may know him. We got a lot of information. There's this, in our generation, there's this inundation of information, and we're getting all this knowledge, all this teaching, all this stuff. But what changes everything is an intimate, real encounter with Jesus. Because we're not saved by information, we are saved by a person. Information is not enough. I'm all about learning and growing and enlarging your awareness of the Word of God and the theology and all of that. Yes and amen. But we're saved by a person. We're saved by a living Savior. His name is Jesus. It's always only Jesus. And this writer here in Philippians is saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. You should underline that. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. See, in my Bible, the New King James that I'm reading from, one thing I do is in italics. It's been added by the translator to try and clarify. But I love that, but I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. And anytime the Bible says one thing, I pay attention. I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That I may know him. This is the key. This is the central point. To know him changes everything. Because when you know him, you know you can trust him. When you know him, you know that nothing else matters. Everything else is secondary. He is the lead story. He is on the front page, lead story of the paper, like in bold print. Jesus saves. Jesus is alive. That is the big deal. Everything else is fine print. That I may know him. Knowing Jesus will lead you to do crazy things. Amen. All throughout Scripture, people that have had an encounter with Jesus did some crazy stuff. Let's look at one of them. John chapter 12. Big John. The Gospel of John. Chapter 12. Yeah, you're going to have to get loose. If I've got the microphone, we're probably going to go all over the place. And I didn't even give you a handout, so you like have to work for it. So you feel like you got something. John chapter 12. We see the story of Mary anointing Jesus. It says, Then the six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom was raised from the dead. There they had made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. We're going to get into that hopefully in a second. Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, he had his attention on money. He says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have always. Love and an encounter with Jesus and this deep desire to worship moved her to do something lavish and extravagant and just reckless. This pound of oil was a year's wage, the average wage in that day, in that community. That's what this cost. For you to take your entire salary for a year and spend it on this oil and then just pour it out on his feet. As an act of love and worship and adoration, and just break the jar and pour it out. And Judas and others like, do you not care? I believe Mary had actually seen Jesus for who he is. I think that she was emulating what she'd heard the Father do when Jesus said in John chapter 3 that God so loved, the kind of love that drives you to do something just crazy, is the kind of love that God has for us. It's like reckless, like he gave his only son. His only son, in whom he's well pleased, who has never disappointed him, who has never done wrong, who has never messed up. He so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And Mary so loved Jesus that there was nothing too costly. And this is the best she had to bring. And she just pours it out on him. Love will move you to generosity. Love will move you to do some lavish, extravagant things. And it doesn't always make sense. But how beautiful is that moment? She so loved her Savior. We find in Luke chapter 10 the story of that they reference this dinner that they're having. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet and heard his word. But Martha, pay attention to this, because I have a tendency to do this sometimes. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to be this kind of person. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha was distracted with much. She approached him and said, Lord, do you even care that my sister has left me alone to serve? She's doing nothing. This little brat is sitting here just soaking up everything that you are pouring out. And I'm doing all this by myself. Don't you care? Therefore, tell her to help me. So passive aggressive. She didn't even like go to Mary and say, hey, sis, please. No. And Jesus turned to her and says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part. One thing is needed. We just read over in Philippians that one thing I do, one thing Mary did, and in Psalm 27 and verse 4, you can write that down, and we don't have it on a slide, and you don't even need to go over there. It says, the psalmist said, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. There is healing power There is sustaining power in beholding the beauty of the Lord. And in a world that is driven by utilitarian need, like we get a tool and we use it and we put it to work, when we're called to just behold the beauty of the Lord, like, beauty's not a tool we can put to work. And like that frustrates some of us. Because I need to fix it. I need to make this right. I need to get to work. I need to be like the disciples and just figure this out. It says to behold the beauty of the Lord. For some of us are like Mary. Some of us have an inclination to be like Mary, and bless you. You need to do some work. You need to help out a little bit. But for some of us, we're like Martha, and we're just work, 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 work. And we need to hear the heart of David. We need to see the heart of Mary, to that one thing, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That will sustain you. That will change you. That will transform you. That will give you grace for the journey. When was the last time you really just took time just to behold the beauty of the Lord? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Nothing else mattered. If you're taking notes and want to put something down, I have this down and I like this. I write it down all over the places. Martha was concerned and worried, but Mary was captivated. Martha was concerned. And legit stuff, like she invited the master and his whole entourage into their home, right? Like, we invited them over for a meal. It's not just going to happen. Right? Like, there's legit stuff that needs to be done. But she was concerned. She was dealing with anxiety and worry and cares that she just needed to trust Jesus with. Like, some of this stuff is going to be taken care of, but you don't have to be stressing out, right? What has you stressed? What has you worried? What's eating away at your soul? For Mary, nothing else mattered but the one thing, and that was to behold the beauty of the Lord. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, we see the parable of the sower, which is so cool that I came to this because I got to see a video of the kids in Pioneer Club acting out the parable of the sower. And Emma was a bird, and it was so beautiful. And I don't even think Dale is in the room, but he was so good with her and kept her engaged, and it was awesome. That I was crying like a baby seeing her do that. The parable of the sower in verse 14. Jesus is explaining it. It says, the sower sows the word. So the sower goes out and he's throwing seed out, and it's going on all this different kinds of ground. And he says the sower is sowing the word. And these are the ones sown by the wayside, where the word is sown. And when they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And says, likewise, these are the ones that were sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in them, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18 says, now these that were sown among thorns, they are the ones that hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things makes it unfruitful. And verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Even watching that video, I was reminded of this and was thinking about it. Jesus is speaking to the condition of our soul. How are you on the inside? How is your soul? Are you allowing the Holy God? So many times we just pray, Holy Spirit, I just want you to take me to the next level. I just want you to bless me. I just want you to do. And we pray these kinds of prayers, and it's good, and we should. But the Holy Spirit is like a gardener when it comes to the ground of our hearts, when it comes to the condition of our souls. And when we ask him to come in and do a work that only he can do, so often he shows up with tools that we don't like to see. Tools that uproot things. Tools that get to digging around and breaking up hard soil. Tools that like, I need to get at that spot. The spot I don't want him to touch. Because I've been concerned and worried about, don't leave that alone. And oftentimes it's what we need is for him to come up and uproot things that keep him at a distance. That worry, that care, that concern, that area that we don't touch that. How is your soul this morning? What is that thing that he's wanting to get in there and get to work on like only he can get to work on? Because he's so good. Because have you ever known someone that was a really good gardener and like their garden beds are just like this amazing soil that you don't even need tools? Like you can just take your hand and just move dirt and plant things. It's just like amazing if you're into that sort of thing. Some of us aren't, and please stay with me. But that's what he wants us. That's what he wants our hearts to be like, that it just readily accepts the word. That like we take it in and we allow it to go deep and to produce in our lives. Not something that's easily choked out or carried away and just sitting on top. But there's a cooperation that takes. He doesn't just come in and start tearing things up without permission, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he invites you to work with him. Amen. God, would you break up those places on the inside of us? Those things on the inside of us that keep you at a distance. Those places in our hearts that don't readily accept your word. That we've allowed the world, the flesh, and the devil to just pack down and beat down and pack in so it's hard as a rock. Would you come in? And soften things up and work things over and do what only you can do. God, we don't want anything to keep you at a distance. We want to draw near. We don't want cares or worries or anxieties to keep us far from you. Wes, can you come, please?
back to the disciples forsaking all. They were stressed. They were upset. They were disgruntled. Things were not going the way they should. There was anxiety. How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to get by? What are we going to do? And an encounter with God in the flesh made them forget everything. Everything I was so worried about and why I didn't want you to touch that and why I've been working on this so hard and trying so much and done everything I can, exhausted my resources. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber, so you don't need to lose sleep over that thing. Maybe that thing that's too big for you, too heavy for you, too much. Matthew 11 came to me. It's never far from me. I love that verse, that passage. Matthew 11. And verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Brother Brad had a word earlier. Brad, would you come and share that, please?
It was during prayer yesterday in the Saturday morning prayer room, and God just really spoke to me about how many of us, well, all of us actually, but some much more severely than others, we carry a weight, and we have a burden for somebody we're specifically praying for, and, you know, a spouse, a child, a coworker, a friend, and we're waiting on the Lord to do something. And he kind of took me to Isaiah chapter 40, where, you know, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. But that weight of the burden is just so great. The love that we have for that person is so great, and it's really dragging us down. And God's like, well, wait upon me, and I will renew your strength. I'm going to change you from a Martha to a Mary. As you wait upon me, and they're not going to change. You're going to change during the wait. And you'll be renewed to pray stronger and deeper and more effectively. And they're going to see that love that you have as you lay your worries down, as your anxieties disappear. Cast your burden upon me. Give me the weight of that weight. And I will renew your strength, I promise you. And as you do that, the weight becomes less and less. The burden of that weight is replaced with the hope just starts lifting that weight off of you. So, bless you.
Yeah, so good. So as we come to a close here, I just want us to... Matthew 11 from the Message is like my favorite. Like, I can't get away from it. So I'm gonna read this over you and pray, and then I'm gonna let you go. But it says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The unforced rhythms of grace. He's not putting anything ill-fitting on you. Phil is always, he's bigger now, so this is less of an issue, but he's always like helping me with stuff and helping me with my bags and different things. And some preachers are known for carrying like a lot of Bibles and notebooks and stuff, so my bags are never light. And a couple years ago, he was like, Dad, I'm going to carry your bag in for you. And man, it was a few years ago. He's a big kid now, so he's good, but it was too much. And we got from like the car to the back entrance back here. He's like, Dad, I think you need to take this. Right? Dad, this is too much. And it wasn't even his to carry. Right? He took on something that wasn't his to carry in the first place. He's just trying to help. He's just like Martha. He's just trying to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been carrying something you shouldn't have been carrying at all. And you're just trying to help and you're just trying to get it right. You're just trying to do it, but you're carrying something that is weighing you down and wearing you out. And Jesus is saying, I'm not putting anything ill-fitting on you. I'm not giving you anything too heavy. Walk with me, learn from me. He cares, but he's inviting us in this moment to cast our cares on him, to throw our anxiety and those ill-fitting things that are wearing us out, to throw them on Jesus, because he's well able. We serve a Savior King that is more than strong enough to take whatever you're dealing with. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Spirit of God, whatever those burdens are in this place that are too big, and you didn't even intend for us to be carrying them in the first place, can we in this moment, as an act of our will, say, Jesus, I need you to take this. I trust you. You are the one I long for. You are the one that I need. You are the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who's able, and I trust you. Trust you with my relationships, with my kids. I trust you with my job and my finances. I trust you with all of it. Jesus, I trust you. Can you say that this morning? Just say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Yes. Spirit of God, we give you permission. We give you place, and we ask you to do what only you can do in us right now. May we be daring enough to ask you to uproot things and remove things and soften those areas of our heart, those places where we've said no before we say yes. We say, I trust you. Have your way. have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Go in peace.